Welcome back to that 590 show. I don't know what you're laughing at, Rafael. I probably don't want to know. It was right around a year ago that I was having a real tough time finding the right car at the right price. I did a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, and doghouse in a 15-mile radius. Thankfully, my long and arduous search led me to Ryan Kimner and his great sales staff at Bellman Automotive in Troy, Missouri. Everything from the quality to the price to the service exceeded my expectations, and I know that they can do the same for you. Bellman Automotive not only has a wide inventory of new and used vehicles, but also has a top-notch service department and financing for everyone. You really can't go wrong at Bellman Automotive, 175 Turnbell Trail in Troy, Missouri. Give them a call at 636-462-3600, BellmanCDJR.com. So what were you laughing at over there like a hyena?
Oh, can
we even say it on the air?
I just promised Giamatti that my break hot take would not be brought onto the air today.
Okay.
Because I had a hot take.
You did.
Yeah. And I always have hot takes, and this one might be a little bit more inflammatory than other hot takes.
I don't want you to burn the station down with that hot take.
I really want to talk about this one day, though. Not today.
Okay, you know what? Start your own podcast and do it on your thing.
There's a day to have this conversation, because I think it's a pertinent conversation. That's all I'm saying. I'm all about managing expectations. And I think there's a group of people out there whose expectations have been mismanaged, Matt Berger. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of mismanagement, not really mismanagement, but I guess management.
We're not talking about Mike Matheny today, are we?
No, we're not.
Oh, okay.
The Los Angeles Lakers, they held out Lonzo Ball of Game 3 of their Summer League game last night against the Sacramento Kings. A lot of people were looking forward to it because it could have been...
That seems a little suspicious.
It could have been a rematch with De'Aaron Fox from Kentucky, who they met in a very entertaining
Lonzo
NCAA.
Has a bad debut. Lonzo's not playing against the one guy who wants to beat Lonzo's ass all up and down the court.
What's been your impression of Lonzo Ball so far?
He's not having a good summer league. Oh, notice the last two words of that statement. Summer league.
Summer league.
Who
yeah.
gives a flying anything? I had a buddy of mine who's a Suns fan, diehard Suns fan, texted me, man, so excited about this Josh Jackson pick. Couldn't be more excited about this. And I texted him very quick. Is this because of something that happened in the summer league that you're all of a sudden really happy? Yeah, he looks great. Can't wait for this to happen. Oh.
I can understand
it's
like
summer league, man. Calm down.
I can understand being excited, being like, hey, you know what? I'm liking what I'm seeing so far, but they got to pump the brakes. The same thing with Jason Tatum.
You're going to jump it. You're going to put your toe in the water first. Go for it.
Jason Tatum is having an outstanding summer league so far.
He is.
But it's summer league. It doesn't mean a damn thing.
And Jason Tatum's making me think it's summer league in 1964.
I'm rooting for Jason Tatum. I want him to be a success in the NBA, but you can't tell anything about this from the summer league.
And more than that.
I mean, yeah, and Lonzo Ball had a triple-double on Saturday night, but it was the bare minimum of a triple-double. It was 11, 11, and 11.
It's technically not the bare minimum. Technically the bare minimum.
10, 10, 10. Okay, 10, close
10,
enough.
10.
1 point, one assist, and one rebound.
Giamatti liked that one.
Giamatti, give it to him.
You don't even have to on that one.
Oh, I thought it was going to be the loser game show sound.
And speaking...
You surprised me.
Speaking of Jason Tatum, I'm gonna jump to this soapbox really quick. People need to calm down. And not just because it's summer league, but also because do you really think 90% of the highlights you're seeing right now from summer league are things Jason Tatum's going to be able to get away with in an NBA game?
No.
There's no way. There's people who show me these highlights. And here's the thing. Aesthetically, it's fun-looking basketball. It is. It's pleasing basketball to watch a guy pull off spin moves and watch, you know, and watch that high-arching kind of slingshot motion he's got and watch those shots fall. That's wonderful until you break down and you watch those clips over and over again and realize that the guy who was guarding him, who's shorter than him, put up a really good hand in his face and almost blocked the shot. And that's disconcerting. That kind of style of basketball isn't going to work in today's NBA. It's not going to. The guys who are post darlings, whether we're talking about guys who are actual post players or the perimeter players who like to do that, they can never get into those sets efficiently. It slows down the game to go into post ups. That's the bottom line is the game slows down when you have somebody on your roster and in your lineup who consistently wants post up because post ups takes time. You slow the ball down. It's not moving anymore. And unless you can start passing the ball like your Nikola Jokic out of the post, hampers offenses. Now, if you're a guy, if you're big enough and you're a good passer, then you can, you know, you can run screens all around that big guy when he's got the ball in the post, and then he can pass it off. The problem is, right now, Tatum's probably one of the worst parts about his game right now is his passing. And so you can't even do that kind of stuff with him. This style of his game, I love seeing it, but none of these plays are ones that are that Brad Stevens is going to call in Boston. So I like seeing it, but right now, up until I think last night, he was 3 of 10 from behind the arc. And he had taken 77 total shots. I am not sure why Jason Tatum, I'm not sure why only 10 of Jason Tatum's 77 field goals across two games were behind the arc, because it should be, if he's taking 77 shots, his behind the arcs need to be closer to 15 or 20 shots. You have to take three-point shots, and you have to be a 38 to 42% shooter if you want to get on the floor consistently in your rookie year, because that's your game.
Tatum's a great athlete. He's great at getting to the rack, but he's not a great shooter. Wouldn't you say that that's...
Well, I mean, the problem with his shot right now is that he's a great 17-foot shooter. The problem is that's useless right now in the NBA. My entire perception of a guy like Blake Griffin would be different if, instead of developing a 17-footer over the last 5 years, he spent that time developing a 23-footer. That's the only difference. And here's the thing. All we saw... And here's the thing that's more important to me, and I think this is interesting. All we saw, whether it was from Drew Hanlon, who was the guy he was working out with, whether it was from Tatum himself, all we saw, or whether it was from the analysts, all we saw about Tatum was people asking, can he move his game 6 feet back from 17 feet to 23 feet and be a dedicated three-point shooter? That's all that people wanted to know. And that's all that we saw. Every video, every news clip, it was Jason Tatum's working on his three-point shooting, and then he finally gets the ball in his hand. He's still the alpha dog because it's summer league, and he immediately goes back to his Duke game, which isn't going to do much for him in his early years in the NBA. I don't even know if it's going to do much for him in later years, but if that ever going to come into help play, it'll be 2 or 3 years down the line. You have to be a three-point shooter.
You are in so much trouble.
I know I am.
You are in so much trouble.
I'm aware of it. I knew it was coming. Come on at me.
Okay, we have QC is not happy with you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
Eric from QC is not happy with you.
Rock, go for it.
At Rock 590 is an idiot. Here you guys go again. He's an NBA scout now. LOL. Tatum has the makeup to be an all-NBA team player.
No, you have to be at least an average defender to be an all-NBA team player.
And but you have
I
to.
Just
okay,
don't,
but
I
here's
just,
the thing.
I don't see it yet with Tatum. I mean, he might prove me wrong, but
it's you're right. It's NBA Summer League, but you're off to a good start. That's the way you have to look at it. You're off to a good start. You're making a good first impression.
He is, but again, my bigger point is that nothing we're seeing in this game is going to be stuff we see during.
Well,
his
I don't think
year.
Anybody's putting him in the Basketball Hall of Fame just yet.
No, but my thing is, you know, I just you know, people can freak out and play all the clips you want. That's fun. You know, that's fine. Let's have some fun while he's doing it. I'm just saying, let's pull the brakes off, because there are people who are talking about how he's definitely going to be getting starters minutes now for the Celtics. Look at what he's doing, and it's just that's not the game the Celtics are going to ask him to play. Brad Stevens is going to tell him, listen, you got to stand in the corner, come off screens and shoot threes. That's got to be your game.
Okay, but don't you think what it is, and this is not just in the sports media, this is in the media in general. It's not important to be right. It's important to be first now. That's what it is.
Yeah,
so everybody wants to be the first one to say that Jason Tatum is going to get starters minutes, or Jason Tatum is going to be this, or even Jason Tatum is going to be a flat-out bust. They want to say it first because they want to be like, well, you know what? I called it a long time ago. Well, so if he is one or the other, you could be like, well, I mean, you just now figured that out? Hell, I'm smarter than you are. I was saying that months ago.
And again, I'm not.
It's all a big bleep contest. Yeah, all can't be like Giamatti and Hung.
I'm not knocking on the guy. And more than that, I can't necessarily blame him for kind of reverting back to that natural. I can't blame him for reverting back to his natural mindset as a player when he's in summer league, because the ball is still going to be in his hands. That's the thing is that I also don't want people who are obsessed with Tatum right now or getting into the NBA to, when he's not getting the ball in his hands all the time, be like, oh well, Jason Tatum, they're not even using him correctly up there in Boston.
Eric and QC, I want you to remember this conversation in a few months. Rocky was walking in a Jason Tatum jersey.
Yeah, when he's dropping he's dropping 18 a game and he's running away with the rookie of the year.
When Jason Tatum's got that green and white Jason Tatum jersey, I'm going to be like, look, Eric.
Here's the
thing.
Right. Also, he's got my favorite number. That's going to be hard for me not to. Now, I don't buy jerseys, but he's got my favorite number, 11.
Why is 11 your favorite number?
Oh, when it comes to sports players, I don't know why. 11's the best jersey number. It just is.
Okay.
It just, no matter what sport you play, it always looks good. I don't care what sport it is, it looks good on every single jersey. It always does. 11 is the best looking number. I don't know why. The best looking number in sports. It's always been my favorite number for years. But yeah, I love Jason Tatum. Just let's pump the brakes, pull off the kid a little bit.
Who do you think's having the best offseason so far in the NBA? I'll tell you one team I'm really impressed with as far as their offseason goes, and that's the Minnesota Timberwolves. I love their offseason.
Yeah, it's hard not to take Jimmy Butler and just say, and you know, wrap it up with a bow and say, there's your offseason.
Jeff Teague and Jamal Crawford, I like that team a lot. One thing they did not have last year was depth. Now they've got some depth this year. I like the way the team is being constructed. And here's another thing, too. I kind of like what Oklahoma City's doing as well. I mean, defensively, they're going to be pretty good. Right now, what Oklahoma City's doing, they're lining up defensively so they can defend the perimeter against a team like the Rockets and against a team like the Warriors.
It's not going to matter.
I'm not saying they're going to win, but that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, they have the length. I mean, Westbrook is the kind of guy who can guard better when he's really got it in his blood to be guarding better. George is long. Steven Adams is a good young center. Andre Robertson just signed an extension. We made fun of him for not being able to tip last week. Great defender. Players also stand 8 feet off him when he is on the offensive end, and that always hurts you. But you're right. They are building a nice defensive team. I do like what the Timberwolves did. It's hard to knock on what the Celtics did. I mean, when you take a guy like Tatum who can come off the bench and be a shooter for you in those kind of situations, and then you also talk about adding Gordon Hayward, Hayward's a playmaker. That's what a lot of people don't realize, is that a few years ago he averaged 5 assists per game, and he's only getting stronger. He's only becoming a better shooter from deep. Adding Hayward and Tatum to their offense for a team that was so defensively minded over the last few years, that's how you build a team in the NBA. You turn them into defensive bulldogs, and then you let them start shooting the lights out. Then you bring in your scorers. Then once you have that defensive mindset, you can add the scorers, add the new players. You kind of bring them into that system. That's what Tom Thibodeau was able to do there in Boston when he was the assistant coach of Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
But then in Denver, he was able to do that. Oh, in Denver. Wow. Chicago was able to do it as well.
I don't think that anybody gets more out of his NBA players than Tom Thibodeau does, because there were a couple of Bull squads.
Yeah, 38 full minutes.
That were gamers in the playoffs, and they had no reason being as good as what they were. When your best players were like Nate Robinson and Joakim Noah. I don't think anybody gets more out of his talent that's given to him. But the problem is that, man, he has a tendency to run a lot of his players into the ground.
There's one more. There's two other guys who are able to get blood out of stone, maybe better than Tom Thibodeau, and that's Eric Spoelstra and Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich is the best at getting blood out of a stone. That guy pulls people off the streets and turns them into 13, 5, and 4 players. You know what I'm saying? Jonathan Simmons is a great example of that. They pulled that guy off the street, and now he's probably going to sign a big extension. But yeah, he runs players into the ground. I'm surprised Jimmy Butler was so excited to go play for him again.
I kind of
love his
too.
Mindset, but man, he was playing Jimmy Butler 38 minutes night after night after night after night after night, and he crumbled at times. So there are a couple teams that did it right, but the biggest one that was disappointing in me, talk about teams that just completely boffed it. Milwaukee's going to lose Giannis. They keep screwing around like this. They did nothing to solve the issues they had last year. Nothing to solve the issues they had last year. Same thing with New Orleans. I can respect it to a point, trying to make the move for Boogie, but you know, when you have a 4 or 5, the smart move is not trading for another 4 or 5. And so that's the interesting thing. See, while it's always interesting to watch what teams are building that might be able to actually maybe make a jump, which you see so rarely in the NBA, another thing to be watching is which teams that have those young stars just are failing to augment the spot for those young stars.
So what did you want Milwaukee to do? What did you want Milwaukee to add?
They had to add more shooting on the wing, because the problem right now is you have Chris Middleton, you have Malcolm Brogdon, solid players. But if you're asking them to be your volume scorers right next to Giannis, they're just simply never going to do it. Plus, a guy like Chris Middleton, he can shoot the lights out of the ball. He's never healthy, though.
That's the biggest knock against Middleton.
Yeah, you're he's never healthy. The guy can shoot the lights out of the ball.
When he's on the court, he's great.
But he's never healthy, and so the depth there, when you talk about 3-and-D wings, they don't have the depth when you talk about that. You also, I think, despite the fact that Giannis is an incredible player, he's a Swiss Army knife, he's 6'11", you can play him at the 1, you can play him at the 4, I also think they need to get a stretch 4. They need to get a 4 who can spread the floor. I think the Bucks won't become what they can be until Giannis is playing minutes at the 5. Because there's no reason with what Draymond Green's doing in Golden State, with everybody in the league trying to find their own version of Draymond Green, there's zero reason you can't turn Giannis into Draymond Green.
Jabari Parker needs to show that he can actually play in the NBA.
There's the stretch four. And there's the stretch four who can spread the floor out with Giannis.
He's Jabari Parker, but he's never been.
And man, it's crazy. I remember Sports Illustrated cover with Jabari Parker on it. The next LeBron? That was Jabari Parker. His last year in high school, people thought he could be the next LeBron. And talk about a guy who's not being able to stay healthy. But even when he has been healthy, he hasn't been what they need, which is a four who is going to be able to knock down threes at a high level and uses, you know, shot over smaller players and his height over smaller players, but you know, uses athleticism and his speed with bigger players. And he hasn't been able to do that. You're right, Parker really needs to step up. But right now, just the bigger problem is, even after a few years, can Parker step up and be a second star to Giannis? No, I don't think so. They need to find somebody who can be a star next to Giannis. And now they've done a good job with late first-round picks, like Thon Maker, and Malcolm Brogdon was the rookie of the year as a second-round pick. Usually when you make those kind of selections, you are building a winning team. When you get starters in the late first round, when you get award winners, whether it's most improved or sixth man or rookie of the year in the second round, that's a Spursian move, and yet it just doesn't seem to be clicking for the Bulls into that pack, into that team that's going to keep Giannis there.
Cruddy from Winghaven texts again, Warriors actually got better. They win the offseason. Well, I mean, they kept everybody, so I don't know if they got better, but they kept everybody. So you can make the argument they won the offseason, but they kept everybody.
Yeah, they added Nick Young.
That's true. They added Swaggy P, who I think is actually going to be a pretty good player for him too. Because you could screw around with the Lakers where they're a complete and total disarray. But when you're in a team that should have won, that should have basically been a three-peat as far as NBA champions go, you're not going
to
screw around.
Although to that point, I saw somebody point out, you know, you can't have too many head cases in a locker room. You already got JaVale, and Draymond's not exactly the most grounded person in the world.
JaVale didn't really act up though when he got to the Warriors.
He didn't. But now you bring in. But the point is now is that JaVale's still there. And say, how many knuckleheads can you have in a locker room? Now JaVale was fine when he was last year. He was a knucklehead. Draymond's half a knucklehead. You're fine. When you push it to Nick Young and JaVale,
I think they'll be okay. Cruddy from Winghaven also texting in. Bucks should have did whatever it takes to trade for Paul and sign Hayward to play with the Greek Freak. Now that would have been something.
Wow, that would have been. I mean, yeah, that would have been incredible. Literally, you can't ask for something better.
The three of them on a team would have been very entertaining.
Paul's probably not the best point guard to bring in with Giannis, but, I mean, you can't be playing with semantics best opportunity.
Maybe he means Paul George.
Well, that would be lovely.
Right from Winghaven, text back in, you mean Paul George or you mean Chris Paul?
Yeah, I mean, trade for Paul and sign Hayward. Oh, yeah, when you said trade for Paul, I just read Chris Paul in my head. My God, if you put Paul George,
well, I mean,
Gordon
the
Hayward,
Rockets traded for Chris Paul, though.
If you put Paul George, Gordon Hayward, and the Greek Freak on the same team, that would literally mean that you could have a 6'8 shooting guard, a 6'10 small forward, and a 6'11 power forward, all of them who are ridiculously athletic. That would have been a lot of fun. But that's the thing about Giannis, is
he brings up Jordan Bell too.
You know what? That's a really good point. Jordan Bell, big man out of Oregon, springy guy. He's somebody that not a lot of people were talking about, but with how bad the center position was at times for them last year, Zaza Pachulia, JaVale McGee, what have you, Jordan Bell's a guy who could get some minutes with the Warriors. It's a very good call. I completely forgot about that pick by them.
Pat Neshek has got a great beard. That beard is just tremendous.
I miss that beard in St. Louis.
That is awesome.
I miss that
beard. Let's take a commercial break. Final segment coming up next. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.